just to have it. And again, maybe it'd be a good thing to make sure that everyone who has an interest in hearing, even the ladies and everything, we can post it somewhere on our website with Fastwork, and again, just have the minutes of those kinds of things done. The other thing that I wanted to note is that I mentioned to the ones that were already in here that I'm willing to chair this first one if it's all right with everyone. I didn't want to if there were individuals who were very much opposed because of the part that I played. But if that's okay with everyone, there are a couple of things that I want to get to, and then we'll open it up and everybody will just discuss things. Okay? Could we have a word of prayer to start? Tommy, would you mind leading us in a word, please?
Sure. Almighty God and Holy Father, thank you for today and your blessings, especially the blessings we have in your Son, Jesus. The fact that he came and gave us an opportunity of salvation. He left us the church to help us work together to get to heaven, to do the will of the Father. Father, we pray that as we do the Lord's business tonight, that we'll do so with the appropriate gravity and with wisdom. Forgive us our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, the first thing that I wanted to note is that that the Waltons have indicated to Jim that they would no longer be attending Westside. That it was also a public notice, at least public to the church, that was made by Shirley and Dorothy, that they believed that the action that was taken was unscriptural, the majority rule action that was taken was unscriptural, and that they would no longer be going to Westside either. And what I wanted to do is to start off just by addressing that, because the statement was made about consensus. And I just want to ask the men of the congregation whether you're in agreement with the premise that I've established that I think is an indication of the justification of what we did. And it's going to only take me a moment to go through it in the argumentation. And I just want to get that before you so that we will have some way of answering this consistently whenever that accusation is raised. And then I'll open it up to whatever we need to talk about. So my premise is this, that individual Christians as well as a collectivity of Christians are always compelled by God and Scripture to do what is right. And that ability to do what is right is never thwarted in Scripture. Some examples. Gaius was able to do what was right despite the efforts of Diotrephes. He accepted and cared for those who were without as they came in, 3 John verses 5 through 8 and also verse 11. Would someone read to me 3 John verse 11, that summary verse there, please? You may want to read. We have the time to do it, so let's read 5 through 8 and then verse 11.
You want 5 through 8 or just 11?
Both of them, 5 through 8, then verse 11.
It says, Beloved, it's King James, sorry. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy character of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth.
Okay, and verse 11. Please.
11. Beloved, follow. No, Zachary. Sorry. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.
Okay. So Diotrephes, of course, sought to thwart the doing of good, but Gaius did it anyway. Josh Jackson, would you read? Go to Revelation 3:4. Second example, the faithful few in Sardis. You remember the church at Sardis was referred to as a dead church. But despite the fact that the church was considered a dead church in verse 4 of Revelation 3.
Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
Okay, so in that case, of course, the majority were doing wrong, but that did not thwart the right of the righteous few to do what was right. The other two examples that I want to give are the ones I think most germane. Just as an overview, the church in Jerusalem. You remember in Acts 15 that the church in Jerusalem had a meeting with the elders and the apostles. And there were Judaizing teachers that were opposed to the ministry of Paul to the Gentiles. The church decided, together with the elders and the apostles, to do what was right in accepting the Gentiles. But understand this, that in that group, in that gathering, it was not a unanimous decision because the Judaizing teachers did not accept what was said at that time, and they continued steadfastly in their opposition to Paul's ministry throughout his life. And so that's an example of where there was not a unanimous decision that was made. The fourth example that I wanted to make note of that I think is very germane to this situation is 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, again, you'll remember there was a sexually immoral individual who was not being dealt with. The Apostle Paul admonished them, rebuked them severely because they had not. They were puffed up. They were arrogant in that regard. He told them that he had already judged them and that they were to deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, you'll remember this man was withdrawn from. The question would be, was it a unanimous action? And there is one passage which seems to bring that into doubt in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7, and I'll read that when I've got that written out on my outline. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said when he was telling them to receive that one after he had been withdrawn from. He said, "This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such one be swallowed up with too much sorrow." The word majority there is a correct translation of that term, the majority. It's not the only way of terming it. In fact, a number of different translations refer to it as the many. It has reference to that which is greater in quantity, the more part, very many, or greater in quality, superior, more excellent. Again, just consider for a few moments the language. With regard to the Acts 15, it was specifically said the whole church. Paul didn't say that in this particular case. He referred to the many or the majority, the greater part, had inflicted that. And I can see where the attitudes of those at Corinth were such that when that admonition was given by Paul, with all of the other admonitions, all the other problems that Paul had with them, that it would not have been a unanimous action. So I do think that the premise is established clearly in Scripture that regardless of whether there is opposition to doing what is needful or right, there is always not only the right, but the obligation on the part of those who want to do right to do so, to serve God acceptably. Now, I want to give you two other examples that happened in this particular church. A number of years ago, the men of the congregation, didn't have elders at the time, determined that Terry Green had to be withdrawn from because of the sins that he had committed against this congregation and the sin that was in his life. That was the consensus of the men. We made that decision in a men's meeting despite the fact that it was not unanimous. P.A. Foster and Jerry Gallman were both in agreement with that particular decision made. And Brad Gallman talked to me about it, even though he was a member at Casaberry. He was aware of what was going on and was in agreement with what the men of the congregation did. We had a congregational meeting where we explained those things. Some small opposition was raised in the midst of that meeting. We indicated at the time, and I was chairing that meeting, it was a congregational meeting for the purpose of expressing information to the congregation. These facts are true. This is what must be done if we're to please God. We went through with it. We lost about 7 to 10 members as a result of that action. But it was the right thing to do. It would have been wrong for us, just as it was wrong for the church in Corinth, to accept that individual, just because there were some who objected to doing what needed to be done for that man. A second that may not be quite as germane, but also is indicative of the kind of thing we're talking about. Again, in a men's business meeting, there was a woman who petitioned membership for our congregation. Her name was Carla Simpson. Carla? Phil's wife?
Yeah, Carla.
Carla Simpson. She wanted to be a member of the Westside congregation. She had not been baptized by a Christian. What had happened was she had taught herself the truth. She had tried to find some place that was teaching the truth with regard to baptism in water for the remission of sins, to have your soul saved in Christ's name, and could not find anyone to baptize her. So she asked a Baptist preacher to baptize her. She never attended his church. She never accepted that what they were teaching was true, did not respond to his teaching. She said, I've been baptized the way you've been baptized. And we talk about it as the men, the consensus of the men, as we receive her into our fellowship, because she had responded to the gospel of Christ just as any other. There was one man in the group who was adamant that an individual, in order to be a Christian, had to be baptized by a Christian. We thought that was an unscriptural argument that could not be justified. If that's the case, chances are none of us are valid, because in our country, it goes back to Alexander Campbell, who was baptized by a Baptist preacher. So in that regard, and that's a very much a simplification, by the way, of restoration history. I don't think that's entirely true, but it does indicate the problem. So as a result of her being accepted into our number, has since fallen away, but as a result of being accepted into our number, this man left and went to Casbury. In fact, everybody goes to Casbury when they leave. It happened again. So,
and what was his name?
Goodness, John Leavener. That was the reason John left.
Okay.
So
we're talking about Mary Leavener?
John and Mary left. Okay. They left at that time. Of course, H.B. Head and his wife left when we withdrew from Terry. Okay, so the question is, was the accusation regarding the lack of qualifications of elders legitimate that was made on Wednesday night? Was it legitimate? Is the accusation being made with regard to the sin of those of Jerry and Brad, is that legitimate? If it is, regardless of whether it's unanimous, God not only allows but compels us to do what is right. It's not a majority vote, but it's the determination of righteous men and women to do God's will, regardless of the opposition that may arise. And when you think about it, there is not only congregational precedent that includes actions that were agreed upon by Jerry Gallman himself. There is also the scriptural precedent in the examples that we gave. And it's a principle that we have that's established throughout Scripture, is that faithful Christian must always do what is right. So that would be the argumentation that I would raise with regard to questions about, quote, majority rule in the accusations. Just because people raise their hands and say, majority rule, that doesn't mean that that's what was going on. It was a determination, as Dennis Moult very clearly put it, is that these men are not qualified to serve. The Holy Spirit does not recognize their position. We must accede to that and stand upon our conviction as well. And I think that's what was done. Yes, Dennis.
We don't vote or elect our elders when they are appointed to the office. We look amongst our number and find the men who are qualified. Once we've identified those qualified, and there's a consensus agreement that they are qualified, then they are all put in. Yeah. That's the way it's done. It's not a democracy. During their service, if they become disqualified, they're no longer elders. We don't have to remove them from office. They are removed. What we did Wednesday night, and that's the thing we have to understand, we did not take a vote. We didn't remove them from office by consensus. What I did, I asked the congregation, is there anyone here that's no longer available to submit to these men? And when they responded by standing, what they were saying is they recognized that they were no longer elders. And that's what we were doing. The fact that a majority of them did it meant that the congregation was going to go follow through with that decision.
Go forward.
That we would understand that they're not elders.
Yes. And so, if for an example, just as a hypothesis or hypothetical situation, that only four or five stood, those four or five, it would have been obvious that nothing could have been done about this here, even though they are not qualified and are not serving. But it would have been recognized by the congregation that they remained, and those would be conviction. Their conviction would have led them to go to leave, and that's something that's an obvious thing. So, but again, the charge of majority rule is one that has been already spread, that it was an unscriptural majority rule situation, and I just wanted to address that because it has already been spread outside of our congregation.
To what places?
Okay. I will... might I just ask for the fact that the individual... told me this, that I would need to ask his permission before I let
you know.
That's fair. Would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I only know of one instance, but I do know of an instance where that was done. But at the same time, he called me immediately. He understood what the situation was, but I did not think to ask him for permission to share that as far as who it was and what the circumstances were.
That's fair.
Once a thing like this becomes public, it's going to go outside the congregation. Yeah.
And I have no doubt that he would be willing to share that, and I just need to make sure with him first. Yes, Jack?
Well, if we put him in office by consensus rule, we can also take them out by consensus rule. But that was just one way to indicate we're close to consensus.
Yeah, but I do like the way Dennis is putting it, though. Yeah. Again, that the Holy Spirit is who qualifies a man. And so if there is a man who is unqualified, who's in that condition, whether or not the congregation recognizes it or not, it's a usurpation of that position. It's not one that is legitimate because he doesn't have the qualification. And what happened was the acknowledgement that he is not qualified. Now, the Holy Spirit already made that determination.
So if only three or four people agree with that determination, where would we be?
Well, you would have a congregation that were submitting to an elder who's not qualified to serve and is usurping that position.
You'd have Sardis.
And I mean, again, men do not do what God tells them to do always. And and there are a lot of congregations where that's the case. And when that is the case, then a different outcome. But fortunately, the consensus of the congregation was, by far the majority was.
And like Stan stated, probably what would happen then is those three men or four men probably would have left instead of staying here. But since it was the majority, we were able to stay here and not have to leave.
And that's right.
Yeah, we got hands let's do hands if we can, just for the purposes of.
I understand this may unnecessarily complicate, but I need to hear it for my purposes. What is the difference between majority rule and consensus? Because consensus is the majority.
No, but again, that's why I hate being up here, because I have that tendency to speak up quickly in that regard. Majority rule is voting on a particular thing and living with it. It's a democracy where the majority makes the decision, and the right or wrongness of something is irrelevant in regard to those things.
Okay.
So the practical application of that in a men's business meeting like this would be, okay, what color do you want the carpet? Are we going to vote on it, the majority rules, or do we seek a consensus in regard to that? But as far as right and wrong, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
If it's one man that is doing what's right, and he stands alone, he does what's right. And so I think that's the distinction. It's the fact that it was a majority is just the fact that the majority of individuals were doing what's right in that regard. And by the way, the fact that you didn't stand, I don't want to in any way say that you did wrong. Because there is that acknowledgement on the part of me, at least, that some were not comfortable with the quickness of the action. And I certainly understand that and recognize it. The fact that others were... that it happened anyway, but the judgment of some, no doubt, would have been, let's take some more time, and I respect that.
I was going to say to that point, like a real example of kind of what I think Stan's saying and what your question was I was sitting in the back watching the cameras because I didn't see anybody back there. I came in, so
by the way,
the doors,
thank you,
so,
I appreciate that.
I just want to make sure there's somebody back there, but I can hear everything that's going on. Except for some of the audience, you know, participation. But, you know, my wife came back there at one point and said, they're about to take a vote. We need to get out there because they're about to take a vote because, you know, things kind of went along the way. And I said, no, I'm not going to participate in a vote type scenario because I don't believe that that's a proper way of doing things. We don't vote on those things.
So do you accept the argumentation I've made as legitimate?
No. I was saying to him, like, but that's, you know, the difference is, but... When we asked the question, when the question was posed, will a show of people stand up that don't feel that the elders are, you know, qualified anymore? I was happy to come and stand at the back. You know, I stood in the doorway and stood there and was not counted. You know?
Sure, okay.
But, like, as far as a voting situation, I didn't feel that was a proper thing.
Agreed.
At the... I'm sure what we're doing.
By the way, I think Dennis should be commended, and I'm very much appreciative for the way you handled that. And
yes,
None of us could have done any better, and none of us wanted to be up there.
Amen.
I think Tommy and Dennis both did a fine job.
And Josh did as well. His introductory thoughts and set it up.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Now,
Eddie.
I don't know if this is the right time to say it, but I wanted to say that Gwen and I came the other night prepared to leave if it didn't go the way it would.
I understand that.
Bless you.
I understand that, and I think
we
that there...
We worship under white ones.
I understand. And there are others, I think, who likewise... I mean, it's a hard situation. I'm just hopeful that now we can go forward and that our congregation can remain viable and do the Lord's work is what I'm hopeful for, which of this will be in somewhat determining that. Did you want to speak?
No.
Okay. All right. Brethren, I've got one point to make in regard to this, and I think that... we don't have everyone here. I think more than maybe I even thought would be. Justin, of course, he's out of town. I don't know who else would show up. Suggestions have been made that the meeting to basically decide going forward what's going to happen, you're going to hire me back, if you're going to have weekly meetings, monthly meetings, who's going to be in charge of handling all those kinds of things, maybe should be something to be tabled after the holidays. If that's the case, that's fine. My concern, and the reason why I wanted this to be called, is so that we don't sin when we seek to worship God on Sunday. None of this, no matter how strongly we feel or how strongly someone in opposition feels about this, should lead us to try to litigate it or to discuss it or do anything other than offer up our worship to God on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I've seen congregations to where a worship period falls apart. Visitors. We had a visitor Wednesday night. Stayed the whole time. Horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
I apologize to him.
I appreciate y'all doing that. Because I didn't know who he was. I thought he was with one of our members.
He was here the previous Wednesday night also. Okay.
So that's a horrible thing. And there have been assemblies that have been destroyed because of it. So this is... what we need to do is who's going to teach, who's going to preach. Justin's suggestion, since I'm one of the individuals that is at the point of this, his suggestion that he sent to us, to me, to every email, was that it not be me this first Sunday. I'm fine with that.
I think that would include me, too.
And maybe Josh as well. Me or Josh, because we were teaching. We're the point of contention in the deal that me and him not teach or preach this Sunday.
And I was scheduled to lead singing Sunday as well, if that...
But it seems like that's the decision we've got to make tonight, and a pledge on our part that we will not participate in any divisive actions. I don't know how to do that. Some discussion may be rendered because I don't know what Brad and Jerry or Bob may do in response to this. But I want you, brethren, to understand I cannot in good conscience, if those kinds of things happen during worship, remain and participate in that. And I have sent my wife and mother away for the weekend. They're going to see. They had a reason, but I said, go, Debbie, because she wasn't sure. And I said, yes, you go and ask Mom to go with you. So they're gone for the Sunday. And I feel like I would be compelled if there's contentions on Sunday during worship that I would have to get up and leave.
It can't be a race to the pulpit kind of thing on Sunday morning.
Right.
And that's the one reason why I was hopeful that Brad and Jerry would be here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would be a contentious situation, because I don't know what their plans are. And it may be that some of us or one of us need to call and ask what their plans are.
At least be here early on Sunday if they don't answer a call.
Do what?
At least be here early on Sunday in case they don't answer us.
Well, may I ask, what was Tracy's text message or whatever?
Oh, I did tell you, did I? Didn't I? I told
you. Well, you alluded to it, I'm not getting all of the text. I didn't get a text message.
I'll tell you exactly what happened, and I just won't name who it was. It was an email that was sent to an individual that I know, and they called me and told me what Tracy had said was that, of course, was taking up for her husband and father-in-law, and saying that they're being maligned, that they were godly men, that charges are being made. She asked for the prayers of this individual and said, and this is the reason why it was germane, she said that there is a small remnant, and of course unscriptural majority rule, but there is a small remnant who have been pleading with Brad and Jerry to fight for Westside. Okay? Now, since then, again, the Waltons have indicated they will not be here Sunday, and Dorothy and Shirley Duquet have indicated that they will not be as well. In fact, that they're no longer going to be at Westside as a result of this. So that, I think, I mean, because I did make that, and I apologize, I probably shouldn't have said that Tracy was the one that did that, but that's what happened. Yeah, and so a letter has been sent. I mean, an email was sent.
She sent an email to somebody? Is that what you're saying? Do you know who?
Yeah, I talked to the person it was sent to.
What?
I talked to the person it was sent to. Yeah.
So she said one person?
That's all I have any information about. Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying. And again, I have no problem with the fact that she's done that. I mean, she's not the only person who has told others about what has happened here. It's public, and she has the right to do that. I have any problem. Of course, her characterization of it is different than mine. But having said that, I just wanted the brethren to be aware of the fact that that statement was made, that there had been some who said that, in her words, that they were pleading with Brad and Jerry to fight for Westside. So there may be some contentious situations Sunday as a result of it.
Well, and I wonder if that she's speaking about the family meeting they had when Jerry talked about, speaking to his family. I'm just thinking if
in that letter? You said in the email she sent?
Well, yeah, she's a remnant pleading to fight for Westside.
Well, I don't know. No, I don't have any idea what the reference to that remnant is. Right. Again, we know who didn't stand up. I mean,
right.
That's something.
Well, that's how I'm going through the Waltons and the.
Yeah, I don't know who talked to her or who said that. Maybe the Gallman family, but I don't know.
Well, I was in the lobby, and Shirley came up to Tracy and said that she didn't bring it up, but she felt like Brad had been extraordinarily abusive to her son over his leaving the congregation. And there were some words, and of course I didn't know what they were talking about. I mean, I knew that Joel had left, but...
Yeah, are you sure that she wasn't referring to me rather than Brad?
No, I thought
I
she
heard
was...
her refer to Stan.
Yeah, I think it's
me. Oh, it was you? Okay. Well, and so they had some words, and Tracy said something like, oh, everybody's piling on or something. There was some comment like that. And
well, I can see that they would perceive that to be the case.
I just thought, am I ignorant about a lot of things that are going on?
Just so that you'll know what happened, when Joel expressed his, I was asked to speak to him by Shirley. It didn't go well. And Shirley, the November 28th meeting afterwards, hugged my neck, told me that she had held some hard feelings toward me for a while, but that she was sorry for those, and she understood I did what I had to do. So what happened this Wednesday flipped her thinking back.
Right.
And but Brad actually Joel never was willing to talk to either of the elders. So that was that was me,
well,
not Brad.
I mean, again, I didn't fully comprehend it, and I thought,
Yeah, it was me that they were referring to. Okay, please, let's do the business, and then any other business everyone has, but is, yes?
I wanted to comment on, sure, on your statements there about Sunday. And I agree, we must not sin in regards to what we do on Sunday. But Justin has made a good point that... we understand we have authority, that we have control over the congregation. We assume that authority. We think we have that authority. We have to exercise that authority. My feeling had been, I've been raised rethinking it, had been that we should not be confrontational, that if they force the issue, we should allow them to put someone in the pulpit, and we would just sit and listen to them. I talked to my wife about this, and she said, well, flip it. She knows of an actual instance where in a congregation the elders had to fire a preacher for cause because he started preaching error from the pulpit. So they fired him. The next Sunday morning, he got in the pulpit and was going to preach. They went up to him and withstood him to the face, just like Paul did Peter, and said, you will not preach from this pulpit, and you will get down or we will escort you out. Did they sin in doing that?
No.
No. Should we do that? That's the question. Oh, now, the difference, of course, is that this man was in sin, hadn't repented of it. Our brother that might be put in place, you know, to preach, could very well preach a sound sermon. And that's not the point. The point is, are we submitting to men who consider themselves elders by doing this action? And should we make it clear that we do not and we won't allow it? It's a test. It would be a test is what it would be.
May,
it would be testing.
May I ask a question here? What, let's say it would not be one of the elders. Let's say it would be Brother Bob or Brantley. Where do they sit in all this? Because they are adamantly opposed to us exercising this authority. Where do they sit? Do they stand in the wrong currently? Are they fit to be preaching from the pulpit?
That's a good question.
That's the question I have.
Well, I can almost assure you that if this happens, it will be Brantley and Bob. I don't think it would be either of the two elders.
And I don't wonder if Brantley would be willing to do that, Nolan or Bob.
No. Well, hopefully we could get that taken care of.
That's what I think
before class, or at least during the class time, not during the actual service time, so that when it comes time for the service, all that would be answered by before then.
Couple of questions then. Could it be possible for us, knowing that not every man is going to be able to come back, but that it seems to me that if we make the decision and announce to the membership through text and Facebook that these are the men that are going to be filling the pulpit and the class for this Sunday, mm-hmm. And do that immediately upon leaving tonight, mm-hmm. And have one of the men call Brad or Jerry and ask them what their intentions are, because we've made this decision as the men of the congregation to have these men be put in those positions. And then if they show that they are planning on opposing that, then us meet again tomorrow night, those who can, just for the express purpose of determining what should be done. Would that be something everyone... I know not everyone can come. I think, Jerry, you said you wouldn't be able to make it, or was it? Who was it? Would you be able to be here tomorrow night if needed?
No.
Okay, yeah, so I thought you'd already said that you weren't available on Saturday.
I won't be here. I'm leaving for Austin.
Okay. Late. Now, that may not be workable. But.
I don't think it's necessary for us to reconvene tomorrow night.
We can
come up with a contingency now, okay. Assuming that they do that, what's our response?
Okay. Or that's... I just, the reason I so badly wanted it to be tonight instead of tomorrow night, in case something happened in the interim, where we could get together again if we needed to, but I can see where that wouldn't be required for this.
Well, I mean, I may be speaking out of turn, but maybe we just come in here innocently, and even if they have chosen someone, I don't think it's going to condemn my soul to sit there and listen to them. But at least we know what their modus operandi is. You know, we know that they're going to fight this. But I'm almost thinking, let's not be too aggressive on the front end, because it may cause them to dig their heels in and say, okay, we're still the elders of this congregation. This was an illegal action, and we're going to send our own man up there. And the last thing I want is any confrontation, because I don't want to hear any disparaging comments about the congregation.
I feel that way too, but again, we do have to keep in mind what others might think of it in the congregation, the ones that aren't here, and the ladies and such that are. There are a lot of people who want me to be in there this week. You know, you got asking me that question, so, but again, I don't want to be the flashpoint of anything like that happening.
And I understand what you're saying, Mike, but go back to what Dennis was saying about, you know, I don't think we can accept their authority in any way. With that said, I don't think we should go as far as escorting them out physically.
And where's the cutoff?
Exactly.
Where's the line that you cross?
Right. And that's one thing that I think we need to discuss tonight, not only with this specific situation, but with everything in general. You know, we've mentioned, and I brought that up at the meeting on Wednesday, They have control of the bank account. They've got the control of the deed of the property. If they want to, even though it would mean West Side doesn't exist because there's five or six of them left after the Waltons and the...
We're West Side. The building's not West Side. So
I understand that. I understand
that. I know you do.
Okay. You're right. And with so few financially, it wouldn't last. But with that said, at what point do we, can we go our separate ways? Because, or decide to, start a new group, that's something that can be talked about then. But that's something that we need to talk about because you at some point we've got to make that decision. As far as Sunday is concerned, I think we can show that disapproval, say you don't have authority for this, we want you to step down. And then if they don't, I can't sit there and listen if it's under the authority or supposed authority of Brad and Jerry. And so I would think the only thing we could do is walk out.
But see, that's a problem too, because we're vacating.
You're right.
Once we leave, we're gone. We can't come back.
And
again, understand this, that if with regard to this being now the constituted authority for making decisions for the church, that any man who refuses to step down would be violating the authority that we have as the men of the congregation in so doing.
And if you say that, which I'm in agreement, then perhaps tomorrow is when it's, or I keep thinking today's Saturday, Sunday is when it's decided. And maybe that's our point. If they send somebody up there anyway, and we've got two men that are there, and we stand and say we're not going to allow this, and again, it's that simplifying it
because of the way it is. If we had a sound congregation here, and 13 men came in and joined our number, okay, and became wolves among us, and then they tried something, we would not leave and turn and leave the congregation to them.
Yeah.
Right. What would we do? That's what we need to do.
Right. No. I guess you're right.
I don't like it. I don't want to, but I'm willing to stand up and not let it happen.
I agree.
Just in all this, I want to be Christ-like.
Yes, Jack.
He did throw the money changers out of the temple, though.
Well, I guess in 2000, and Earl will remember this, when we were at Woodmont, that we didn't have a preacher anymore, and we had a lot of long business meetings about what kind of preacher we were going to have, and we had a 4-hour business meeting after Sunday night services to try and decide on a candidate who'd come come and preach for us. And we ultimately, since the congregation was about 40% that wanted him and the rest either didn't care or didn't want him, and we said, well, that's not close enough to consensus. Well, the group that didn't get their way the next Sunday basically said, we're taking the pulpit today, even though we had a man scheduled to preach from among us. And a bunch of us, when this other man got in the pulpit, said, we're going to talk about problems. A lot of us stood up and said, no, we're not going to do that. This is time to come worship.
I remember.
If that happens, we should offer them the chance to have a meeting afterwards. But we need to worship. When it's time for worship, we need to worship. That's my opinion.
Hey, that's some wise words there. Yeah. As a part of this, no, this is not going to happen. This is the man who's been chosen. He's going to preach. We're going to worship. We can meet afterwards if you would like.
Yeah, I think that's the best approach.
Is that something that's suitable to everyone?
Agreed.
So.
Any opposition to that?
If they don't want to do that, then I don't know where you go.
Okay. So. All right, may I ask then for a special consideration? Again, Justin had made this suggestion that I be allowed to take one of the sermons in this period of time, and of course there are several in the congregation who want me to have that. But not to be this week, and I certainly understand it. My brother, who is he's a reprobate, has promised my mom on the 6th of January that he would come and hear me preach. He's never done that, and he never will again. but she shamed him into coming on, and so there's a 50-50 chance that my brother and his family may be here on January 6th.
Well, you must stand in the pulpit.
And I would like the permission to be sitting there that time and preaching if there's no objection to it. Okay, I'm going to put my name there. I try to get first dibs. Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, you can preach anytime.
No, I understand that, Jerry, and I recognize it. And just because Justin made that suggestion doesn't mean it's necessary. But this is kind of a thought. If we were to have a men's business meeting on Sunday night, January 6th, that would be after the holidays, it's 3 weeks, we would need to fill the pulpit in the Sunday morning class for 3 weeks. At that point in time, there are so many questions that we're going to have to answer. We'll know something about the money. We'll know something about the building. We'll know something about what's going on by then for sure. But going forward, we have questions about class teachers. We have questions about curriculum. We have questions about the disposition of the preacher. We have questions about what is to be done with regard to those men who we consider to be in sin and pursuing those accusations against them to bring them to repentance. There are a lot of things that have to be addressed that maybe need to wait until then to be fully addressed. But it's basically the work of the congregation as a congregation going forward. But tonight we've got to make sure that Sunday works as best as possible. If things change and y'all want to, and it's obvious that it's not going to be a problem for me to fill the pulpit later on before the 6th, and you want me to, and you want to back out, and that's everything, but that's fine. But until then, I think Justin's suggestion is probably apropos, and I'm certainly willing to listen to you guys. I enjoy that, and I've gotten very few opportunities to sit and listen to anyone in the 30 years I've been here. I've been preaching. I have not taken a single time off in classes, and if I'm here, I'm preaching. So I haven't had a chance to hear that.
Who's teaching class Sunday morning?
That's the first thing is who we want to teach the class, and would they be willing to take that class for 3 weeks? Yes, Josh. All right.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I may be jumping the gun, but I think we need to have a plan in place as far as it's too late today, but I think banks are open tomorrow. We may want to, pending what happens in the next week or so, and if they, see clear and say, because it's my thinking on the situation is that if there is this many a number that are not willing to submit to the authority of their eldership, that in good conscience they should, the common sensual person would go, I'm not qualified to be an elder on the pure and simple fact that over half of my flock doesn't want to follow me into the field anymore. Yeah. And that alone is disqualification. But that notwithstanding, we need to look at, should we, when the collection for the work is taken on Sunday morning, how's that going to, what's going to happen? Because that's going to happen before the pulpit ever gets filled.
And that was my question. I just opened up to that.
Okay. Let's do this, because it is definitely something we need to discuss. Let's get who wants to teach class, make some assignments, at least for Sunday, and then we'll come back and address that, because that's certainly something that needs to be done. We're kind of doing piecemeal, and that's probably my fault because I'm chairing it. Okay, with regard to class, anyone willing to volunteer for, the work of a preacher for 3 weeks?
I got a comment before we come up with an answer. The wisdom of the wives. they're invaluable. I'm of the opinion that the reason why elders and deacons must have wives is because of what they contribute.
Amen.
A lot of wisdom from my wife. She says, what she suggested is this. We must not worry about the most qualified or the most talented to teach either the class or the sermon.
Amen.
We need to put people before the congregation that have not done it. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Because this is something that's been such strict control has been exercised in this congregation to a fault, a serious fault. I have to encourage these men to not rely on one or two of us to continue to stand before you, because we're going to end up with default elders. We cannot do that. We need Jerry. We need Jim. We need Josh. We need these men to stand up and volunteer and do this and teach the class. And, you know, a sermon, it scares anybody. The idea of getting up there and presenting a lesson to the congregation, it can be a very simple thing. All you have to do is take a text, present it, comment on it. While you're studying that text, it will bring to mind other passages. It will remind you of other passages. Bring those in. 15 minutes, you're done.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Yeah, so I was going to say, it doesn't have to be a, we think, sermon, 40 minutes. Or for
what's
some
important for us Sunday morning is that we're the ones that do it.
Yes. And I understand that some men just don't have the oomph for it and recognize that, so I don't want to be putting you on the spot. But again, if you're of a mind to try it, then this would be a good time.
Please do. Because I, for one, have felt very uncomfortable with the
limitations.
The FaceTime. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My FaceTime. Your FaceTime. So much FaceTime.
I agree.
In both of these congregational meetings.
Okay, Lorenzo, you want to teach class? That was a joke. Don't get upset or sick. I was just kidding. Because I think you will eventually get to where you can do those things. Might I suggest, Jerry, or would you be in any way interested in teaching the class for 3 weeks? Would you be willing?
I'm going out of town the day after Christmas, and I'll be gone for 6 days. So I'll miss the last Wednesday and Sunday.
Okay, the last Wednesday and Sunday of that?
Yeah, this year.
Okay, so that would be the 30th that you'd be gone.
Yeah.
We don't have to have the same guy for all 3 weeks, by the way. Yes?
Suggestion, until you get this settled on who's going to be teaching classes, why not let him come in with us for early morning Bible study?
Come in. I'm sorry, I'm not
with our class, the class of Sunday mornings you're talking about.
No. What we're talking about is going to teach the adult class.
Okay.
The class that I've been teaching again,
okay.
Just to try to get us through this 3 week period. I think we have a number of women who'd be willing to if depending on what happens with Tracy, and I think that's another situation. I don't want to deal with necessarily right away, but she does a good job with the kids. So, yes.
We're assuming preaching is going to be the major contention point, but who we haven't thought about class being the first thing we do on Sunday, and who's, and we're talking about putting someone in to fill that position. Brad may just think that he's the one doing it.
Again, he's an individual that has been accused of sin, and it's unresolved, and he cannot occupy that place.
And
that may be where the battle is.
That may be where the battle is. The same way.
You can ask my wife. I'm being open book here. I've not puked yet. I have seriously wanted to puke every single time, and my wife has seen me honestly curled up, either on the couch or in bed, just ready to cry for what I was about to have to do. But on the way out the door, I told her every time, I'm going to do what needs to be done, and you can count on that when I leave this house. And so
I'm very aware of the fetal position and have occupied it myself on many occasions in the last few months. So I know what
but you're... I have no problem taking class Sunday morning at risk of it being the first contention point.
Okay.
Well, you won't have to be the one that has it.
Right.
We don't have
it. Is that all right with everyone?
Yes.
Would you like to take it just the 3 weeks? And
are you going out? You're going out of town too, aren't you?
I'll be back. I leave Sunday evening after worship for Wichita Falls, and I'll be back before class on Wednesday. 3 weeks. I bet I can do it.
I know me, just maybe in my absence. He likes to be a teacher.
And again, if 3 weeks is a relatively long amount of time, if it's not going to work, we can.
Excuse me, but the 3 weeks is not a problem.
Yeah.
If we win the battle Sunday, we won the battle.
True.
If they will submit and let us put a man in to teach the class, and put a man in the pulpit to preach, We won the battle. They won't come back later and challenge that. Okay, that's why we need to succeed Sunday. If that happens, we'll have no problem putting men in to teach and preach after that.
And
I've got notes for you, and I'll send them to you through email.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not maybe far enough, but I'll get.
To me, there is some uncertainty. Robin called me yesterday morning from work and told me, and I don't know where she got her information or information line, but she said, it's not over.
Yeah. Well, I feel that way, too.
And,
so there's a really good chance that it's
not over. And her evidence is that it's like what y'all were saying. The bank accounts are all in somebody, you know, in the leadership's name. And apparently, Brad made some comments that it's conceivable this could be sold and donated to Sound Congregations.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was making. If he chooses to do that, we're really powerless to stop him.
What are the Sound Congregations in there?
Well, I mean, that would be
well, I mean,
you know, turn around and donate all that.
Castleberry's not a consideration, so.
I'm just curious, how much is in the bank account?
When I stopped, when it was taken away from me, there was 101,000. There was 88,000 in our checking account, and then we had have a separate savings account that's 13,000.
Is that before the parking lot or after?
That's after the parking lot. That second account is where they put that money, so because they knew they were going to use the parking lot. And so, you know, there's several things that have been done since then. So
there are two handicap ramps that have been fabricated on each entrance.
Well, still going to be quite a bit of money.
There's
flower beds in the front, the footings all around, power washer in the back rooms.
And
see, brethren, this is the problem here. We haven't plumbed the depth of this man and what we're dealing with.
Right.
Is he willing to sacrifice this congregation out of sheer spite? That he would drive it into the ground, sell the building, and take the funds and do whatever they want to do with them.
Honestly, brother, from what I've seen, the answer is yes.
That's diabolical.
I don't know.
And that's one thing that I think that I was going to bring up. I mean, we can talk about it in a minute. But a letter to show what happened on Wednesday night. Doesn't have to be we don't need to go through every point of proof, but not self-willed. This is what happened. This is what was said. I think very important to include how you phrased it. Cannot submit, stand. There was a consensus, and had the name, perhaps type the names of every single member, and then signatures to give to Jerry, because I still feel Jerry is our best hope.
I agree.
And he was not. He, you know, they've talked to him, I'm sure, about what happened on Wednesday, and I have no doubt that it was not relayed in the way that it happened, since they said when we stood up and had the consensus, they didn't even admit that it was more than 50-50, a couple of them.
Brother, excuse me, but ideas, and I hate so much, you know, thinking thoughts that I've been thinking. I've been told all my life not to think these thoughts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you have to examine what's possibly going on, because too much giving the benefit of the doubt, the brethren's got us in trouble. I believe Jerry was manipulated into this firing.
Yep.
It's evident because of what he said and the fact that he was the one that said it. He was prompted to be the one to say it.
He has been for a while now.
Right, but the fact that he said the reason for the firing was because Stan was going to split the church, that idea did not originate with him.
No.
That was put in his head.
Yeah.
And it was manufactured to get him to agree with the firing. I do believe that there's enough of the old Jerry left that if he can be convinced of this, he will resign his eldership. And if he does that, then Brad and the rest of the congregation will have to submit. They didn't have no choice.
How much is our monthly budget?
Budget. That's an interesting word.
How does it take to run this church? Well, we don't have a preacher right now, so.
We didn't have a preacher. We walked 10 months.
They have money when they're not going
away. Being this expensive.
I'm sorry.
I was curious. If there is gone. You can continue on with the current contribution, and that's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully it didn't come to that.
Well, that's why I said we should look at maybe establishing a bank account in the meantime. That way, even if the money was to disappear, I mean, it is the big thing is their name is on the deed to the property as well. So,
well, now we have multiple signers on the account, right?
I am pretty sure when they switched the banks,
they
went and took care of all of that because Roger and PA and I think...
It came up in a meeting last Sunday night.
Joe Staley, and I mean, there were several on there that had passed away.
The church critic. Yeah, I've got one too, but go draw it.
How many signers are there?
Yeah, but that's
not
how many
signers
are there? Five. Bob, Jerry, Brad, Jim, and Josh.
You need two to write a check.
Right.
And checks to write.
I know, we've thought about that.
But we don't have the checks.
But you know what? Two men could go down there and get them.
Yeah, cash
your
check.
A check is any kind of instrument that has the bank account and the routing number on it. I could write it on this piece of paper right here, and they have to take it.
You're right. I don't want to go any farther with this one.
No, I know.
But could we go so far as to clean out the account? See, that would be very bad.
I don't do something like that. I think we need to...
See, that's what I was... I sent that email, that thought crossed my mind, but I'm like, this is crazy.
Do something improper with the money, you need to let them do something improper, and then I think that there is...
And that goes to what point do we just...
Because then they're going to turn around and say, oh, look what they're doing.
I think there is outside pressure that could be brought to bear upon them if they were actually threatening selling the building and such. I don't know if it would be...
My father made a good point. If we stayed and they were to leave, any sound congregation would have to think twice before accepting them into the fellowship once it had been told what had been done. So they would have to repent before they could find somewhere to go.
I could name churches they'll go to.
Okay, let's...
To answer your question,
Ultimately, take them to heart.
About $8,000, but that's including... that's not including the cleaning the building and mowing the lawn. But that's including, you know, the insurance. That's including his pay as it is, you know, right now. The electric bill, obviously, in the summers, that's going to go up, you know. So around $8,000.
Okay. Well, if worse comes to worse, we dig deeper. Yeah. I mean, that's just well to do. So.
Who wants to preach Sunday morning?
You don't. Am I missing
something? No, it's just, again, since Josh and I just think with regard to the initial battle this Sunday, that maybe it's best since we were the point of contention, that someone else takes the lead just for this Sunday. Please understand, I want to be the evangelist for this congregation. I want to fill the pulpit weekly. But that's not a decision that we've made up to this point, and I don't expect it to be made tonight, and maybe this first Sunday would be better if someone else preached. But I want to get there quick, and I want to be back in the pulpit, and I think that you know, y'all know that. So.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I know that we want preaching, you know, and there's scriptural reasons for that. It has been offered that we have preaching Sunday morning and singing Sunday night.
That's great.
Why can't we have a singing Sunday morning?
Singing with an invitation would be fine. I think there needs to be a message.
It would still accomplish the purpose. If we're the ones doing it, then we've won the initial battle. We can have the singing, and when we're done, try to talk to these people if they're there, ask them to sit and talk. Especially Jerry, if he's here,
that might actually be the best.
That way we wouldn't have to worry about, you know, fighting for the pulpit. If we can put the song leader in the pulpit at the beginning of the service, he stays there.
That'd be fine with me. I've always felt this way, which is one of the things about the fifth Sunday singing. You know, Wednesday night, just do all singing, that's one thing. But I feel like that there needs to be preaching done in a worship service. It only has to be a 5-minute talk at the end to offer an invitation, and I would be okay with that. But I don't think, you know, I just feel like all the acts of worship should be in that. As far as the relative time, I don't have a problem with the short
message.
And a brother
who does it, does it have to be just a random song service?
Yeah.
I used to do something, and I'm not volunteering. I'm just any of us could do this. I used to do something called a sermon and song, and you just pick out songs and put a verse to them. And basically what we do on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. And just have a theme on love, for example, and that's going to be the service, and it doesn't have to be long.
Okay, that leaves us primarily with Jerry Burns and Josh Groggins. Either one of y'all willing to lead the? You're not going to be here this Sunday?
Yeah, this Sunday, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Jerry, would you mind lead singing Sunday?
Sure, I'll do.
And lead a lot
of
songs?
We could have multiple song leaders, too. We don't have to have just one song leader.
Yeah. Well, but again, I mean, we're limiting now because Justin's...
I don't know if my voice can hold out an hour or
not. Well, and it didn't...
Well, if you'll lead it, organize it, I can help lead. That's kind of
okay.
Thing.
Okay, yeah. So you two...
I can... I mean, if y'all think that would be
sermon
okay.
Sermon and scripture as long?
Whatever you want to do. That was just a suggestion.
I'm very busy tomorrow.
Okay.
Very busy. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
I would teach class. I just don't think I have time to prepare.
I know.
Okay, so we're talking about typically...
I got a very busy day tomorrow, and I wouldn't have time to prepare.
So is this...
I could pick a dozen songs.
I think a dozen songs is about what it would be.
Is this mostly like an invitation?
Okay, I'll try.
With your short invitation.
I'll volunteer.
Okay, all right, good deal. Okay, so what we have is a singing that Jerry's going to lead, maybe if y'all want to do six and six songs, six songs.
No, I can't, I don't have time.
Okay, how about six songs, Lord's Supper, preparation song, and then six songs, an invitation song?
Okay.
Invitation. That's a total 12 songs, going to take all the time up. Okay.
And whoever's here too, I'm going to probably have to count on everybody here for opening, closing prayer, and Lord's Supper too.
I don't mind participating in that way. I just
have to get the schedule as long as they're.
I don't know.
You look at the list again.
Brantley, I got. I'm Brantley Center to do the announcements. I don't think that's going to happen. And there's a. Justin's not going to be here. Josh ain't going to be here. If you're doing the song leading, it's we're going to be very limited.
Well, we can double up too.
We're going to be very limited on men.
You need two less teachers now, though, since I won't be here.
Yeah, all your kids.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so
on Dacre, is Dacre going to be gone?
We talked
about making the statement. Remember, who's going to be our announcer to stand at the beginning of services and make the announcement and read the statement?
Tommy, you're
I'll be glad. I'll be glad to write the statement and get the copy to. If y'all will write down your email, I got everybody, but everybody wants it. I will write a statement up. As what we've mentioned here, what Josh has mentioned is what you want the statement to be, it will be in the back to be signed by the members after the end of service, and what happened, the Jerry and Brad are no longer elders, the decisions are being made by the men of the congregation, do you think it'd be appropriate for me to mention the call for those two men to repent? And anything else y'all think that you're thinking about me needs to be a part of that? Because I can't do it right now. I need to make sure that they're. What I'm going to do is everyone who wants to read it, give me your email. I'll do it tonight. I'll send it out to you. Any objections or suggestions made, I'll incorporate them. And to send it again until we've got a finalized copy. That'd be okay?
I definitely want it. Send it to me. I'd want it, like, to see it.
You're going to do that?
I guess so.
Thank you, Tom. I know none of this is easy, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I will still. Who teach you class?
Okay, so we've got Josh.
We moved on from that.
Josh Jackson teaching, Tommy Davis giving the announcements. Jerry Burns, Dennis Craig doing the singing. Monty Settle will have the invitation. Then with the announcements, there will be a suggestion we'll just have to ask Jerry to meet and Brad if they're willing.
And the rest of us will be doing by opening, closing prayer, Lord's Supper.
Yeah. Okay, but we still need some.
I'll still volunteer for Lord's Supper.
We're going to ask Eddie to read.
Read the scripture. Okay.
I'd like to, but I was going to say that I plan to resign that pretty quick to have whoever we're choosing as elders eventually, I hope, they'll have an open deal. But if y'all think my reading still satisfactory.
Oh, it is.
Amen. Yeah.
We love your reading, Eddie. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And by the way, what the practice was previous was that we had a list and every single man took turns reading, which would be fine to go back to if we wanted to do that. You know, because we do need some of the young men, and that's something, Lorenzo, maybe in the future you would be comfortable is kind of introducing yourself and participatory, just reading a passage of Scripture. That would be a wonderful thing. Yes, Josh?
Just a question about Scripture reading, and it may be that this just traditionally how we've always done it here, but past places I've been in the past, and I just haven't brought it up because it just wasn't worth the...
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, that's the way we've always done it.
Okay, all right, sorry. Sorry, ask your question. But... previously, places I've been, like, the preacher picked a verse that was centered around what the lesson for that morning was going to be, so that it was more pertinent to the worship, so to speak. In lieu of a verse that had to do with the Scriptures, a verse that got everybody's mind in the right place for worship or something. It just seems...
I think there's a lot of stuff like that that we're going
to
be
just keep going down through
talking about.
That there's a lot of things we can do.
More coordination.
I know.
But
Sunday,
let's
pick up where we were.
It's hard.
All right, then we still need brethren. We still need someone to renew the singing in the morning. We're going to have a preaching service at night. We need someone to bring a lesson in the evening. And I mean, our pool is getting a little bit smaller with regard to that, and
so
it's last minute.
So when the time for worship starts, Tommy's going to be the one that goes up and does the announcements.
And this is all going to be put out on Facebook and a text sent at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, saying these are the ones who are participating in the leadership roles this first Sunday. So everyone will know about that. The elders will know about that as well because it'd be good.
It would also be in lieu of.
I did it again. Brad and Jerry will know about that again. It's a hard habit to break after 20 years.
That would be in lieu of the regular announcements because that, you know, the person who normally goes up there and announces the sick and stuff will just lump it all together. And if you're going to go up there and make an announcement, we'll just.
The announcements and then.
Do the announcements and then.
That's something we have the authority to do, to change what's on the sheets, because we've overridden that tonight.
Okay, yes. So I understand that officially, kind of, sort of, that you're not the evangelist right now, but there's nothing anywhere that says that you as a member here could not still publish our weekly bulletin.
It has already been written.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the list the list of who's participating will be on the back page of that as well.
And maybe the statement that's going to be read might, I don't know, because I know that bulletin goes out to other places and people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's an appropriate addition that might
up to y'all.
Get that message out there.
I can put the statement.
Specifically, I don't know.
A defense for what we did.
Yeah.
You talked about it at the very beginning, the justification for what we did. That needs to get out.
I just think that would be important.
You want me to put that in the bulletin?
I would like it.
That would
be
great.
I think it would be a very good thing to put it there.
I'll write that article.
It's almost like an open letter that shows where we stand, and that the membership here, and,
that kind of quells some.
And I trust you to word that the right way, because I know that you will, and that you're conscientious about the words that you choose, and I have no problem giving you carte blanche about how you want to write that.
That might kind of knock down some of the rumors.
With the men's approval.
Well, and that way, when the rumors do start circulating,
people are going to say what they're
going to say. Yeah, they're going to say what they're saying.
Would you mind sending me an email with the exact wording you used with regard to the standing for your conviction to identify that? And I'll include that in that article. Yes.
I think the article that you write, I'm willing to give you carte blanche as well, but I think it should be signed to men of the congregation so that they don't think stand.
Yeah, don't sign your name.
Absolutely.
I was just about to add that.
With regard to that, we want to make sure that the men who are present tonight, their names are typed appended to
not
that.
Necessarily. I don't care if you just say the men of the Westside Church Christ or whatever, you know.
Don't sign it. Stan Cox is what he's saying.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I never
agree.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So it's unsigned? And then you signed or unsigned?
Well, that's y'all's choice. To say the men of the Westside congregation,
I think put them in, because it's pretty much understood that if it's not somebody else,
Yeah.
As long as you are willing to identify as, and then someone can say, hey, I didn't approve that, well, you weren't there.
There's still very, there's now very few men who agree with Brad and Jerry, right?
It's in the sense, if Monty is agreeing with us here because he did not stand, we would say that it would be Jim Walton, Bob Ward, the Gallmans, and then possibly Donald Goins.
But Jim,
but I don't know about Donald.
But
I know
Jim's not going to be here anymore.
Jim will not be here Sunday. And
Jim,
I don't.
Bob
I,
Donald
I,
and
Don,
Jim, Bob, Donald, and
who?
The Gallmans. Brantley.
I think it's important to reach out to Donald because he's still in my
mind.
He's still very much a babe in the faith. Right. I know he's been a Christian for a while now, but
and they were very much upset about the way I was treated in the previous 3 weeks previous. But again, they left West Side because they got upset at the sermon Justin preached. Without letting us talk with them about it, they left Weatherford because of the fact that Weatherford put an announcement for a Castleberry meeting up, and they were not willing to talk with them about it and came back. And so they're flighty in that regard, and that's primarily Donald. But I will certainly make an effort to talk with the Goins and try my very best to explain to them the justification for what was done.
I think everybody in this room should reach out in their own way if they're comfortable. To Donald, because I think that
they're
if
good,
Donald
they're,
feels
good
that
man.
Love and you approach him in the right tone, I think that he'd be willing to listen. And
I may try to call tomorrow and just go by and tell him.
Well, I think we approach everybody. Yeah. Who may have disagreed with us that way. So.
Sure.
And he might even be in the same boat Monty was, that at that night he just wasn't sure.
Sure.
So,
I was in the meeting.
I was not prepared that it was going to be that quickly. I think you summed it up very well that night.
I was called in that meeting because I think even now, I don't like to use the word aside, but I think Brad has always felt like I was
a supporter.
Yeah, or just, you know,
could be influenced.
Sensitive to his cause or whatever the case may be, but. And I've told everybody from the beginning, you can ask anybody that I've ever talked to, someone sitting in this room, but I said, I'm not on a side, I'm on God's side, I'm on the side of whatever the truth is. And so I've tried to stay open-minded, like I believe everybody else has stayed open-minded and open-hearted about the situation. And it kind of troubled me sometimes because people are like, oh, are you with them? I'm like, I'm not with anybody. Stop saying, are you with them? Are you with us? Because that makes it
right.
I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, it's hard not to say. It's human nature to. Because there is a clear. You know,
I hate the fact. I hate what happened. It's just.
This has only been public since the Wednesday, a third last after Thanksgiving.
Right.
A lot of people they're having to try and process this.
Sure.
And understand it.
And that meeting that he cut. Let me finish real quick. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
But my point that I was trying to make was that meeting that they called and they brought the men in there, including myself. They recorded that meeting, and if you ever get a chance to listen to it or if it ever becomes in the public, and Monty, you can probably attest to this, I said very, very, very few things. I didn't talk in that meeting at all, with the exception of when Jerry made not an accusation, but just brought up something. I said, that's not how that happened. Well, I'm like, well, but the tone of that meeting was very, it started off with them detailing all of the things that Josh had done wrong, and why we were at the place we were at right now. It was, I just, from the very beginning of that meeting, I was like,
so they still,
even
did
if I
not...
had one like glimmer of hope for like what they were, you know, their view of things, like that would erase it all for me, because, and I feel like Jerry, and for a long time, you know, I've heard the comments and the murmurings, but that Jerry is starting to become mentally unsound as far as some things, and
he's struggling.
He is. He really is. My wife's a nurse. She gives him a shot every month, and she sees it. She deals with people that are mentally slipping. And, you know, between his hearing and everything else, it's the accusations that he was throwing and the things that he said to you that morning that you have a transcript of, and the things he said in that meeting Sunday night were... none of it made sense. He's putting two or three parts of a conversation that he had that is been transcribed for everybody to read, and saying he's taking this part and this part and you're cramming them together and going, this is what Stan said. Like, that's not, like, how do you come to that point? It's sad, and it breaks my heart that it's that way, but it's just after he's...
Well, that's one thing. So this one of the saddest part about this is that Brad's put his dad's soul in jeopardy. That's right. One of the...
Well, and you can also ascertain in that meeting that we had Sunday night, I said point blank, this is all an economic initiative.
Yep. And I wanted to add
something. And Don said to explain economic. I said, this is all about finances. I said, they want to grow the congregation so that we have more money, operating capital. And I said, and this is a direct hit on you financially. I said, this is all about economics. This is not scriptural, in my opinion. At the time it was. Now, I think Wednesday night, I saw some arrogance that I'd never seen. And that's what I was alluding to when I stood up. To me, it was just an incredible tragedy that I was witnessing. I'd never seen anything like that. I'm 67 years old. I've never seen it in the congregation.
You're 67?
I know.
He's
a young
67.
Yeah.
He's not slipping, though. He's not slipping.
But anyway, that was my whole observation in this, is that this is economic issues. This isn't about scriptural authority. In a sense, it is. I mean, yeah, they wanted to mark you, but to me, the bigger factor was the economic impact.
Well, and there was one simple question that I wanted, and when you were bringing that up, I know some of it was because you were hearing their side of the story, and you were like, oh, well, it's economic. Stan's doing that because Stan wants to stay where he's at, because he. And I wanted, that meeting was not the proper place, but if I can pose a question and just, sure. I mean, I know it's not, you're not prepared for it or anything, but I think it answers the question.
Maybe I thought about all this,
Is that if what Brad says is true about he came to you and said that, and I have my doubts about it personally, but said that the reason that he felt like you should go look somewhere else is because he didn't feel like the church was going to be around and not able to support you the way that we support you now in 5 years or whatever. My question to you is that, and I know the statement that you made, this is your church family and you've been here helping build this church for 30 years, the congregation here for 30 years, and if it came to it where we were lacking in funds, would you as a preacher, in order to stay, take a pay cut in order to stay at this congregation?
Yes.
And I believe that you would.
I
firmly
would,
believe that you would, within reason. I mean,
I would, and I want y'all to understand a couple of other things. So this is something, it's kind of a personal, private thing, but I've kind of thought about this and think I probably ought to make it aware of it. With regard to these particular circumstances, the fact of my firing, there are individuals who know about it. And there are individuals in this congregation who have assured me that they would help me if necessary. There are individuals from other congregations, elders of other congregations, that said at least temporarily that they could get me through this until I find a work. There is the possibility that me relocating to another church, having chronic leukemia, that it would be difficult for me to find a work. My reputation, because of the battles that I fought, limits the number of churches that would be willing to hire me. And I want that all to be understood. I don't want to leave because my family's here, because my spiritual family's here, and I love this congregation. I would be able to be okay if it were necessary for me to leave. And I want you to understand that while January 1st, without a paycheck, it's going to be something that will be somewhat jarring, because Debbie's never worked outside of the home, and it's still to us very much is paycheck to paycheck. I've got some savings because of her father's passing, and that's basically it. But at the same time, that it's not going to be something that will devastate me in the short term. So that's there, and that's my economic situation. I have the right to know that, but at the same time, you would be amazed at the at the brethren and their generosity, saying, we stand ready, if necessary, to help you through this difficult time. And so that, I'm so thankful for that. I hope I don't have to call upon them to do it, but I am thankful.
I have more confidence in you than you would find another position.
Well,
for churches would jump at the chance to hire you. I tried to hire you at Woodmont twice, and you turned me down.
Well, just,
I appreciate that.
You know, because I was treasurer for so long and took care of those things, that's one thing about that. When I hear that, it's amazing to me because of the times that I went to them. And several of y'all are present when I talk to them about, I mean, $10,000 a year and the cleaning the building and mowing the lawn.
We're the only congregation this size that I know of ever who does not do their own lawn and building. And I understood it with Mr. Bowers, but he's dead now. And his kids, basically, they lack the extra income, and they don't do a whole lot. They don't do near as much as what Mr. Bowers did. But there's no reason for us as a congregation not to be able to do both of those. And, in fact, Josh made that offer to Brad that in order to save the money, because we're talking about that. And he was shut down during that men's meeting.
Well, that's why at that men's meeting he said, you know, he talked to me in private. I just kind of left it. The reason I brought it up in the men's meeting is because I talked to him on two separate occasions about it in private.
But that's $10,000 right there. And I'll tell you another thing. We waste tons and tons of water. I've had to ask Brad three or four different times that we need to turn the water off in the winter, except for just very sparing. It runs the same amount that it does during the summer.
You're kidding.
No,
I'm secretly adjusting.
Oh, you secretly adjusted that just recently.
And then I checked back and it got readjusted. So
and
readjusting it.
And we've always had problems with regard to mold, which is why the fans are in. Good idea. But also, we're very aggressive in running the electricity during the summer. And I think that could be not completely stopped, because then the mold would start going again. But I do think we probably could have the thing running about half as often as we do during the summer. But again, understand this. Everything that goes with the, this is one of my pet peeves with regard to the eldership, is everything that goes with the physical plant of the church, especially the external aspect. They've been adamant about spending the money for those kinds of things. One of the things that really upset me, in addition to the meeting week, the stonework that was done out front, which was done not by the members, which it could have been done, but by a company that came in and did that stonework. They were working during the day, during our meeting week, to get that done for those flower beds. The fabrication of the deals also. All of the work that is done electrically is done by Lone Star Electric.
Oh, wow. I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, every single thing. And Brad is adamant. He'll do other things for free, but when it comes to his work, the church is going to pay for that because that's his work. You know, in other words, he's an electrician. He could have been doing all that for free, and he wasn't. That's his conviction. I understand that. But the fact that we're not being allowed to do things that we could do, and instead a lot of money is being spent on that and wasted on that, I find very problematic, especially when I've asked for very minor improvements in order to facilitate the worship service and also the evangelical efforts, talking about things less than $1,000 in amount.
Well, the gospel where
we
meetings.
Can advocate those things and the gospel meetings, and we don't have the money for it, or there's an unwillingness to act on it. And I think that's troublesome, very troublesome to me.
Well, with Mom, we reached the point where we had to clean the building ourselves. And it worked, but you're going to have some uneven results sometimes.
Right, you know? And we have to be aware of that.
But we never quit paying somebody to mow the lawn. That is a hard job to get volunteers for.
Yeah. No, and I understand that, but if we do have those volunteers.
Hold back water every time, yes.
Well, see, you're not. I mean, we can make it. I mean, that can grow for
a lot of months
and be fine.
I don't mind mowing. I'll get on riding lawnmower and mow.
But that's just it. We have young men who have said that. Now, they may miss a week because they couldn't get to it, or a mistake was made and it wasn't done. And people walk up and see the grass is a little tall.
We're only paying $1,300 a year. So.
Yeah. And just real quick, one of the things I was going to bring up is, you know, if we get past this, and it's for later, but, you know, give a financial report, you know, make everybody aware of where the money's going. But I think serious consideration would need to be made about moving locations, you know, because moving locations, not that we, you know, need to this second, not that it might not be the right move. I mean, I don't know. It's just something to think about, because that whole thing is a process, and we certainly don't want to get to the point where we're, you know, where the money runs so low that we can't even do that, because with the selling of the property and
If it ever comes to that, I mean, I see benefits of both things. I mean, obviously, we're established here, et cetera, et cetera. But
and there are a lot more benefits
we sit on right now is currently, and now Brad and them are going, no, it's not worth that, and the things that I've heard, and I didn't mean to inflect like that into that, but that's the way I feel when I hear that.
Nobody's going to pay appraisal value for this because nobody's going to use it.
Well,
it's going to be torn down and something else.
I'm like, they don't care about your parking lot.
I heard the amount I remember is $1.2 million. But that includes the money to rebuild this. If it
that being said, you still have to have another piece of property to build on somewhere that is.
Last Chris read it this week, thinking about that.
Yeah,
how much the church is worth for cost. He said it really doesn't like to get into what costs and the money things there, but he thought it was about $350,000. Yeah, it was a much smaller building.
I don't know their land cost, but I know about their building cost because Herman proved that they're building.
And we were offered.
We
were offered around six. It's like $650,000.
I think we could get more than that.
Oh yeah,
honestly.
Yeah,
That's what we were.
Yeah, we were.
You might be saying is the guy who's chairing it that we're off the top.
I was going to try and get us back on topic. My wife and I have discussed going back to collection on Sunday. My wife and I discussed this. What are we going to do with collection on Sunday? I mean, if the brothers still hold the purse strings, it's hard for me to want to contribute to that, knowing that it's just sinking into a hole. How are we going to handle that?
I think each individual has to decide on their own.
Yeah, I think so as well. It has been mentioned, and I appreciate that some are going to give money directly to me instead of the church, and it's your decision, and it may not be necessary depending on what quite transpires. But I do not think that we should. I think that the ones who feel conscience bound not to contribute because of the circumstances to keep that money and lay it aside, but keep it and do what you want with it. But that the ones who wish to put it in the plate to do so without any kind of directions on our part at all. And that's the way.
My conscience, it's got to go.
Yeah, I understand that, and trust me, God will find a way for that.
I believe the Holy Spirit will.
I want y'all to know, again, the ones who have mentioned to me that, hey, this is what they intend to do. I appreciate it. I want you to know I'm going to be okay, you know, in that regard. And certainly this week won't make a difference.
Next Sunday.
Yeah.
We haven't decided what we do Sunday night yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so. Do we have a 15-minute lesson and more songs from Jerry? Well, were you going to lead both morning? I mean, typically it's morning.
We're talking about it. I'll sing until my voice gives out.
Okay. Okay.
I'll start.
Tell you what.
I'll sing every song you guys don't know.
No, okay. Six and six. And then Sunday night, if you will, be prepared to lead the singing as well. And if something happens with your voice, we'll get someone else to do it.
I could make it back Sunday night if we change service back to six.
Okay. Would someone...
So Sunday night, I'll lead as many songs as I can by myself. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have an open singing like
that? Well, Sunday, let's have a 15-minute sermon in just regular number of songs, and if we finish early, we finish early.
Why don't you do, like...
I say 15-minute sermon.
We've done...
Have someone
like
who...
people have done...
At least does a 15-minute sermon, and... I mean, that's my suggestion, is that one of the services be a preaching service, especially if we deal with it in the morning.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, it shouldn't be necessary to deal with it again. And then just have whoever wants to speak... speak for as long as they want to, have a regular service, and then if we finish 15 minutes early. I mean, we finished 5 minutes early when I preached before. That's when I preached for 25 minutes. So,
I'm not saying anything negative.
Is that all right with everyone? Is it we just have a regular service? A typical Sunday night service?
I'll sing the normal number of songs.
You gave a good last, you gave a good point.
Anybody object to that?
But at some point, I'd like to see, like, last Sunday of the month, like, an open singing where members...
Is Justin going to be back Sunday?
No, he's going to be gone the rest of the year.
Brothers, I talked to Justin on the phone today. Bless his heart, this man. I got to relate a couple things about it. Wednesday night, because of the hour difference, he was at Bible class at the congregation where they're visiting in Miami. And he, knowing that at the end of the services is when we begin ours, he got up and asked the congregation, told them, and asked the congregation to pray for Westside, and they did.
Wow.
And he was talking to me today that if he thinks he can sit down with Brad and Jerry and get them to talk to him, he will drive 23 hours from Miami.
I believe him.
To be here Sunday to talk to them. I told him, I said, brother, that's wonderful. Call them first to make sure that they're going to be willing to do that, because I got a feeling they're going to flat out say no. Yeah. Not they, Brad.
Yeah.
But if Justin could talk to Jerry, oh, man, because there's a relationship there. He said that they have developed a relationship in the last year. So, yeah, y'all pray for Justin, because he could be a phenomenal support, if he could be here now. And a big help. And he wants to be here now. But I told him, I said, don't ruin your plans, in the holidays if it's not going to be effectual or effective.
We're kind of down to three choices who are here tonight as far as men who would probably be willing in short notice to give a 15-minute lesson or so.
I can do that Sunday night. Okay. I'll do that.
You were one. Tommy is the other. Josh, do it again.
The invitation on Sunday morning, do we assign that? Or is it Monty's going to do the
invitation? Monty has the invitation. Okay. So you've got the evening sermon.
Okay.
You can make it as short or long as you'd like. Okay. Okay, so now, having said that, we've been here now for an hour and a half. We have dealt with what needs to be done by Sunday. Have we not? Is there anything else that you need to know by Sunday? There were a lot of extra things. If anybody feels like we need to continue to talk about any of those things, fine.
Just did we come to a consensus or a decision on if they physically go up there and
try to force somebody in the pulpit
and will not yield?
We call their bluff. We don't get physical. We can't do that.
No.
Right.
And we don't want to attempt to. I think we already talked about that. We don't attempt to escort them from the building, but we stand up to the face and tell them what was the statement that we came up with. We actually decided our own statement. No, this is not going to happen. That's the statement we discussed. Do you all remember that? We're just going to tell them if Brad gets here an hour early and stands there in the pulpit for the class. We men are going to come in, and we're going to stand around and say, this is not going to happen. You need to sit down. And if he doesn't, we continue to stand there.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, is it could be all taken care of during the class, but before the service, so that by the time the service comes, it's smooth and organized. And
so each of us as men all stand there.
And we could have a congregational meeting, but we're going to worship first.
Yeah, worship first, and we can talk about this after the meeting.
If we don't get to have a class that morning because we have to discuss it, that as long as it's covered before the service starts on Sunday morning.
I don't mean have a meeting.
I mean, if we have to take care of it.
Have to stand there the whole time?
Yeah. get it taken care of prior to the service starting.
We'll respectfully consider. They have things they want to say, do it after the service.
Right.
And if we begin to talk with him, to reason with him, please be sure that we do it one at a time. It's not a cacophony in his face.
Just one person needs to speak, the rest of us don't. We just need to stand there together. And we're basically just blocking, that's what we're doing.
I'm gonna take down the assignment sheet I have up. I'm going to take that down tonight because nothing's going to match that. So I'm just going to take that down tonight.
Just go. That's fine.
You can look at it tonight. You can write it down.
I need to extend this one more minute.
Sure. No, it's fine.
That's for the bathroom too.
Amen.
Brad said something Sunday or Wednesday that really bothered me. He said that he was ordained by God.
That really bothered me too.
I looked at the New Testament. Only ordination is Jesus being our master, our Lord.
Agreed.
Master.
Yes.
And so, if he thinks that, then we do have a real problem.
We do.
You don't think that they have Pentecost?
Well, I do. Was Brad Gallman personally picked by the Holy Spirit?
No, not to my knowledge. I haven't seen the power.
He probably got the office of elder, but
the idea of ordination or choosing is the concept.
Sorry,
that it is done by typically the scriptural expression is the evangelist that did that.
It wasn't a Holy Spirit intervention.
But the idea is, though, the ordination as it derives from God is that the Holy Spirit establishes what the qualifications are. The congregation acknowledges those qualifications.
The idea that
it's a lifetime appointment or that only God has the right to take say him out is absurd. Only God can remove. Well, God has removed it.
Yeah,
correct.
I agree.
That's the whole point.
Give everybody the option to basically leave. If someone's like, "Well, okay, here's this is my biggest problem is when he says, Stan, we don't need your services anymore. We know that you have 75% of the congregation on that. You know, you brainwashed or whatever. I don't know if that's what the thinking there is, but and we know that you will take them with you, and that should be sufficient enough to support you. So we know you're going to be okay, but." How is that not the elders not thinking of the betterment of the flock and splitting the church themselves by saying that? That statement in writing, or not in writing, but in on tape or transcribed is Sunday night. And he did say Sunday night.
He said the church is already split.
And my problem there is that if you're the elder and you really, really care about what's best for the flock, you don't drive three quarters of the flock away and go, well, take luck, you know, or whatever. And that is self-willed. That's or not self-willed.
Well,
it's selfish. It's that pride, and it's not right.
That's the same thing I said
and
Wednesday
night.
And anybody
that can stand beside them and go along with that is just...
They acknowledge Sunday night that the congregation would not follow them as elders anymore.
And just real quick.
They
acknowledge that's the fact.
Yeah.
75%.
They said 75% of the congregation will not acknowledge
I don't know anybody
if
the
we
right
do,
heart. Could, knowing 75% of the congration is out behind you, wouldn't it step down
but
right
that's
there?
That's what I'm saying.
If
a person that was self-evaluation really qualified
would
as an
tell
elder
you
that
something.
That was living the life of an elder would take that fact and go, you know what, somewhere along the way, I'm either a stumbling block or there's something wrong here and I need to step down so that we need to study about this and figure it out. And if Stan really is a problem like I'm saying he is, then that will eventually come to light and that will show itself because the truth's always going to shine through. But their unwillingness to step down and either study further or...
I'd be embarrassed.
Just,
it's almost a sense
of
entitlement.
How could not be embarrassed by the fact that you look like a total buffoon? Like,
well, 75%.
I understand pride, but at some point,
if I just for a moment, and again, I understand in your frustration, Josh. I just want y'all to remember that we're recording this, and our frustrations are understandable to those who will hear it. But at the same time, I did want to do one thing for the record: the men who are present at the meeting, if you will, call your name out for the.
Tommy Davis.
Paul Teetsy.
Monty Suttle.
Earl Shopper.
Jerry Burns.
Dennis Craig.
Lorenzo Lando.
Joshua Scroggins.
Jim Godfrey.
Eddie McNamee.
Josh Jackson.
Josh Cox.
Stan Cox. Thank you. I just felt like, just in case, because some have not spoken up.
And just real quick, when we if we are able to speak with them again and appeal to them, and you know, this may not be the best way to go about it, but I felt like through this whole thing, and I mentioned it on Wednesday night, the reason they are so adamant that they are right, especially Brad, is a misunderstanding of their role and their authority. They take it way too far, and I mean, we all recognize that they're in the wrong here because of many things we've just mentioned. But if that's not, understood. If that's not made clear, we're never going to get anywhere with them. I don't believe. I think that's...
Well, my hope is they come around and...
But I think that's got to be the appeal. Listen, you can't ignore...
Jerry, I do believe.
I agree.
Hope. And if he can come to his senses, And that can bring us all to an end.
Josh has been had his hand up a long time.
Yeah. What you brought up the question about ordained by God. I caught that very same thing, and I'm like, I have some words, but Tommy just told me sit down. So
probably a good thing. Good thing. Eddie,
but
oh, I'm
sorry. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 is the only thing I could come up with. It says, "Take heed, therefore," and this is the New King James. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." And that's the only thing.
Yeah, that's the idea. The office is one that is ordained by God. The qualifications are supplied by the Holy Spirit. Individuals who have that qualifications are to be recognized by the congregation. Those that do not or lose those qualifications or have that pattern of sinfulness that shows them to be disqualified, then they are no longer ordained by God. You know what I mean? But I mean, the ordained by God is the idea from where he got it is, you guys don't have the right to remove me. And that's absolutely untrue. Because if that were the case, those ravenous wolves could not be removed unless the ravenous wolves wanted to remove themselves. It's just an absurd thought. A person who lords it over the flock has a right to remain in that position if you got two men doing it because they are not willing to set themselves aside. That's ridiculous. The right cannot be thwarted. It cannot be. That's one of the we've emphasized this a lot in the preaching because people say that, well, this will violate autonomy to preach the truth and this. The truth cannot be limited, and that's what people try to do. They say you can't do that because truth always has the right. Right always has the right. We have to act righteously in the pursuit of those things. We have to act right when we're doing right. But you do not limit what is right. You don't limit God because that's ultimately what's being done when that is done. Eddie,
just wanted to ask one question before we leave. We just talked about. Offering Sunday, I really didn't understand it made clear. If we put in our offering into the plate, who do we make it out to?
We do everything just as you always.
Everything the same. We just understand that Brad and Jerry right now control that money if you put it in the basket.
Yeah,
and so we've all got to make our own decision and whether
once we
can
put it in the plate is take it back to that county.
It's going to go to the bank.
Now, if you choose yourself not to put in and pull it aside and use it for something, that's up to you. But if you put it in the plate, it's going to the bank.
You could go ahead, Eddie, if you wanted to, you could go ahead and write the check and put it in a drawer and hold it.
Yep.
You could do that every week.
That's laying by in storage.
You're laying by in storage.
Until this is all settled, that might be the best action to do.
I understand. Well,
I'll turn those checks in later.
I'll accede to everyone. I mean, that basically, and again, different people may have different views with regard to this, but I found in my own circumstance that I was not being a good enough steward of my money because I was being paid monthly and putting it in weekly, and there were times when it was a problem for me. I put mine in once a month because I get paid once a month. And that way I can justifiably make sure that it's the first thing that comes out and it is consistently done. That's something I've always had to do for the past 25 years, because it wasn't working the first five very well. So with regard to that, those things need to be set aside because it's the Lord's money. It's what you give to him. But if you want to set it aside for a while, and you can in good conscience do that, then no one's going to judge you for that. Yes, sir?
One more point. What about Wednesday night? Should we just decide that now? Who's teaching class? Tommy's teaching class. You can continue to teach the Acts class.
I certainly don't mind. I'm prepared to teach it already for the first time, but that has been Bob's class. And he offered to let me teach, and Brad approved, and I don't know if he is willing to continue that acquiescence. So
the last class he said you were going to be
coming
back with.
Bob told us that you were taking over the class.
Well, I certainly don't mind.
And again, I think it's going to be decided on Sunday.
And just then,
I'll teach it if everything is settled. If we feel like we need to revisit it after Sunday, then I'll certainly. I mean, Dennis could probably fill in for me again. He's about the only one that's in there right now that would be comfortable teaching it, other than maybe Justin. So, again, any of you guys, I don't want to prejudge this. I just have talked with enough of you individually about your your perceived limitations on what you can do or you're comfortable doing. So anytime you step beyond that, one step beyond that, then man, this idea that we've been limiting people, we need people to grow. Anything you're comfortable with doing, we want you to participate. I think it'd be great, wonderful to do. Okay, Sunday afternoon, there's a chance we're going to have a meeting that includes Jerry and Brad.
We need to pray for that.
We need to pray for it. Well, I'll ask for a prayer in just a moment. We also need to have just the person who's going to stand at the front to start it.
Is it after services?
Right. Go ahead and start the meeting. And Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon?
I think
Sunday evening. Whichever one he's at. If he's there in the morning, we need to do it then.
Yeah, I need to do it the morning afterwards. Okay. Okay. And those who can stay. Dennis is feeling the pressure of being put up too often in the front.
Is the purpose of that meeting to determine the intentions?
Their intentions.
Well, it's to reason with them. I think that's a part of
charge. Now, what you tried to do today is not going to stand. We need the money. we go through all that if they're willing to sit there and talk. Turn it over.
We must demand it.
Yeah, and demand it. And so that if that happens, that might be a good thing. But again, not Brad standing up in front of us.
I do believe their resolve will crumble when we call their bluff. When we make a firm, resolute stand on Sunday morning, I think that'll be the end of it. No. That's the hope.
Well, they'll certainly be in the minority.
They've lost the people that they brought into that meeting on Sunday, and I believe it was, I don't know what you would call it. I was surprised because I was asked to come in there, and all of the people that were in there, myself, Monty, and the others, it itself felt like, almost like a not. I won't say the word bastion. It felt like, why are you calling us? Like we're the last bastion, or whatever. And then to be so one-sided about the issue, and I know that they'll say that was not the intent or whatever, and that's fine. But it felt awfully, awfully wrong, like weird. Weird enough that I didn't bring it up and tell anybody in here about it because I kept it myself because I didn't want you further.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I've been very much accused of wrongdoing by the fact that I only sent that email to four or five men. I forget how many of them men that I, not everyone. I have no problem with elders, with Brad and Jerry, meeting with y'all, even if it were to say, where do you stand? Now, this is going on. Where do y'all stand? I don't have a problem with that.
It wasn't asked of me. I left early after 2 hours. I was I had enough. I had to go.
Yeah. And I got that. But there's so much other that them, them asking or even canvassing or something along those lines, especially after the November 28th. I understand them doing it. Like I said, I don't have a problem with the fact that Tracy Gallman sent that email.
Just real quick to clarify,
they still considered me.
And that was the thing. That was the biggest thing that stuck in my craw about the whole meeting was that they've already rescinded the marking.
Which I felt that was, to be perfectly honest, I felt that's how they felt. I felt it was simply Brad knowing he was about to get removed, and so he yielded.
Was all about this and that, and basically rehashing everything that we already have been through.
If it was, as Bradley said, a mistaken perception, the mistaken perception was corrected. And to revisit that as if that was still the case is something that indicates that there was no true change of mind on the part of the eldership.
My point that, let me get my point out, but they, that the people that were in that meeting, I was there, but whatever, I already knew which side I was.
No, I understand. No,
I knew my position.
Yeah,
your position. Sure. And I chose to keep that to myself. I think anybody that knows me should know which position I would hold, where I would stand. Monty was in there, and Monty obviously has had a change of heart about what the things he was told, and he saw the truth of the situation, I believe.
one of the other men at least is not going, has chosen not to come back, which speaks volumes, I think. The other one was Donald, and the other one was Bob, which I'm pretty sure Bob's lockstep with them. And
Bob was invited,
but Bob left.
There was only six of us.
And I will also say that to Bob's comments about how we mistreated the elders and what we did was wrong that Wednesday night, unless he listened to or read that transcript, Bob left an hour after that started because I went back and reviewed it on the video. So he wasn't even here for 4 hours of that meeting Wednesday night.
Oh, he left after an hour.
Yeah. He left.
He left after the elders dismissed it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that tells us something.
I know he might have heard what happened, and I can't say that he didn't listen to the transcript.
No, I know.
But I went back and checked the video while I was sitting back there. After
I appreciate knowing that. That makes a difference as far as
didn't
my
feel like
awareness of it.
Anyway,
that makes me feel sad too, because I think that Bob very much has been misled, and if he hasn't revisited it on his own, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's so strange because Brad in November was adamant about talking about factions, and yet that sounds like creating a faction, and at least driving for it.
But I have a feeling, like you said, you feel like their resolve will crumble once they see that we're willing to stand for what's right. And I'm not trying to strategize here. I don't want to be thought of that way, because I don't like this being a chess game or whatever. But unfortunately, they're forcing that issue. So, but yeah, I think that we have enough, and I won't be here obviously because we already had plans to be out of town. But know that I stand with y'all, and my thoughts and prayers are with y'all as y'all have to deal with that Sunday. And I apologize for not being there.
Dennis, if I know it's a great, great imposition on you with what you've done in the front, but if there is that necessity in meeting, if someone were to stand up with you, would you still kind of take a lead to begin that, at least begin the discussion Sunday afternoon if after the services, if that's required? Okay. Perhaps one of the men could stand up there with him so he's not standing up there by himself. But I'd appreciate that, because, I trust so much of what you've done so far to deal with this, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that
you're committed, buddy.
That you don't want to be the voice and all, and I recognize
you're not
it.
Just involved,
yeah,
you're committed.
In that
situation, when we withdrew from Tangerine, I was the person. I took the brunt of it. Whenever the Sunday following, when the men, we had three men that stood up one after another and said, This is what Stan has led this church to do. This is ungodly. We're leaving. And I was standing at the back, and no one stood up to refute them. I had to be the one to walk all the way up to the front of the building and answer the accusations they were making. And as I was leaving, a little girl standing back there, she said, her mommy, see, she said, Mommy, why do they hate Stan so much? I know what it is, and I know the imposition that we're making on you in that regard.
That day is burned in my memory. That's one of my very early memories, just because I was in
tears.
That's
the closest to a nervous breakdown
I've ever
had.
What's going on? What's going to happen with Dad? I mean, I couldn't. Do you remember the year?
I don't know how long.
I couldn't have been more than 5, 6, 7 at the most.
And you know what's sad is Lynn Page. I was telling her about Terry approaching my ex-wife about sexual services in our own home. And I mentioned it to Lynn Page, and she said, everybody knows that he's a sex pervert.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was on a Halloween night. And we were canvassing the same neighborhood as her and her husband and their daughter. And I thought, there is something wrong. There is something wrong with this picture when a gospel preacher, people are saying everybody knows he's a sex pervert.
That thing was not handled. I think the only congregation that handled it well was Westside. Yeah, and he's still a member of the church, one of the churches in Mansfield now. New congregation started there. He and his son.
He married me.
If we're blessed with the opportunity to have that meeting after services, either Sunday morning or Sunday night, and Brad and Jerry are there, it's a golden opportunity that we don't want to waste. I need some guidance on what, how to approach that. Well, give me some guidance.
I mean, again, like what I said before, you know, as far as the how to start that, and you know, if you should bring up the sin first or what, I'm at a loss as well. I just don't see, because I was thinking, you know, Brantley, me and him go way back, and you know, I'm gonna reach out to him and say, hey, I want to sit down and you know, at least talk about this. At some point, and I'm thinking, before we get anywhere, it's just like you don't sit down with somebody in a denomination and start talking to them about instrumental music or Baptist. You start talking to them about authority. And so in that same sense, I feel like it all comes down to they feel that they can do pretty much anything because they're their elders, as long as it's within the doctrine of Christ. And when I say within the doctrine, I'm talking about the details. Obviously, then doing that is going outside the doctrine, but...
If the congregation will stay and will sit and all the families are still there, and I talked to Justin about this day, I have a strong feeling that we need to do our best to make it as much as we can, some kind of conciliatory gesture toward them, and entreat with them and plead with them that we keep this congregation together.
Yeah.
In any way we can. And if we can't convince Brad, maybe Jerry, maybe the families, that this can be worked out. And that's what we're hoping for. In other words, not come down hard on them.
Yeah, stay away from...
Be very gentle.
What we just kind of did a little bit.
No, we don't want to do anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And plead with them, you know, first of all, to do what's right and to repent. And to preserve the congregation, because that's what we need to do. Because we love each other, we don't want to lose each other over this.
Which may not be a good opening to say, "Well, we want to talk to you about your sin."
No.
We want
to talk to you about saving this congregation.
We seek to retain this congregation.
All right.
Well, I mean, we don't want you're our brethren still. You fallen into this error and you've been, you know, and it's really sad to me because I think that Brad has the ability to be a really good elder. I really do. I still think that, but he is such a young elder. I mean, in his time that he served as an elder is, and the way that he was, you know, he was put in, and there were some reservations from some that we found out, I think, Wednesday night. And I've held some reservations, you know, in my own mind, but they weren't ever things that were, you know, would be something I would bring up necessarily because they were just personal observations of my own. That, you know, the piece was on me to, at some point, if it became a problem, to go to him and be like, you know, but why do you do this, or why do you comment about, you know, this person in this manner? And but that being said, that's my own. Not being strong and saying something. Maybe,
well, but understand that what the charge that was raised. I think that the qualification of gentleness is lacking as well.
Yes,
that's the one that I kind of centered on because of the definition of the term and the way he's dealt with brethren. And a lot of what he's done is not evident because all that's been discussed is me and Josh, and there are many individuals who have those same kinds of things. Patsy, of course, and she was very dismissive of Patsy. And you know, the audacity to say that if Jerry was alive, he would corroborate him rather than what Patsy was saying. That's not true, and that's so dismissive. But the point is that self-willed that he has expressed. What I've seen in Brad, when it's settling on truth and doing what's right, it's a conviction is beneficial. But the fact that he is unwilling to acknowledge the rightness of other views or of the possibility of mistakes or even that ideas that have originated with someone else may be preferable to the ideas that he has. That kind of thing is a character trait that unless that were to change, in other words, repentance of a sin is one thing. The character trait, that personality trait, is that of a man who should not be serving as an elder unless that changed, and that would be a very difficult thing.
I agree with you there, and I see what you're saying. That may change what I'm saying, though, but I think that
if that was possible, which maybe it's not.
So there's another man in this congregation, I won't name the name, but it was way back when I first got here that had served as an elder. And another man in the congregation that said, I will not serve as an elder again with him. And it was because of the personality and the domineering nature of what was being done. And it was wrong, and he knew what the problems would be if he were to do it again because the man's personality had not changed. Otherwise, domestic qualifications, ability to teach, all that was there. But that personality was an autocratic personality that was not suited for eldership, and it just wasn't going to happen. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't have elders, because of the danger that if men were appointed, someone would, if men were put up, that someone would put his name up too, and then we would have a fight because it was not good. So that's my problem, is the fact that I don't think the personality will change.
Let me take up for him for just one second. He and I were in the same group of men at Castleberry that became deacons, and just so happens the week after we were announced as deacons, we moved Ron Bertel for about the 10th time back to his house because they had two houses and financial issues. But anyway, Brad and I were heading back over to Meadowbrook to pick up another load in my truck, and he said, I am so humbled that we have been chosen. And I just took it like, well, we qualified and we're willing to serve. But his contrite spirit of being a deacon just so stirred my soul, because I felt so inadequate, just my attitude.
Well, me too. I mean, when we had some discussions in the months leading up to him letting me know all that was going on, he'd mentioned a couple of times he just wasn't sure about the confidence that the elders had in him. And personally, I don't know that I told you this. So I just thought he's kind of being paranoid.
You told me a day or two ago.
My son
thought I was overreacting.
I've talked to Justin about elders. And young men learn to be good elders from good elders. If you've got good elders who rule well over the congregation that they grow up in, that's who they learn from to be good elders. Without that, they're going to learn the wrong things from elders who are poor elders. And men that we've respected in the past who've done the best job they could still were not necessarily good elders, because what they did fell short from what good elders should have done in actually shepherding and leading. They thought of eldering as just managing a congregation, and it's much far more much than more that. Than that. Yeah. When
very much reactive and slow to act.
When Peter told the congregation to choose those seven men, he said so that they can take care of those things, and we can devote our time to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's what elders do. They should devote their time to prayer and ministry of the word. That's what the purpose of the deacons are, is to take care of those. They need to give delegate authority to those deacons, let the deacons make decisions, do what needs to be done, and not micromanage, but concentrate on teaching young men how to grow up and to be good elders. So the fault with Brad is the fault of the men who failed him to begin with. Yeah. And it's like Paul's speaking of his countrymen. He has a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to what a man should be, and so it's not totally his fault, but still
he's responsible for his actions,
and we have to
try to teach it to his example all the time.
Can I say something briefly about experience and learning from others? I'll just stand up here real quick so I can talk to everybody. Not everybody in here. Earl, you weren't. Monty, you weren't. Lorenzo, Scroggins, you weren't. Ed, y'all weren't part of the discussion that Tommy, Paul, Jerry, Dennis, Jim, I, and Justin were having before we got all of this together. Now, me, right now, my personality, one thing that I am trying to work out of myself now, long before I even think about getting close to being qualified to being an elder just based on age, I want to get it stamped out, is my snappiness, the fact that I can be sharp quickly, that needs to go. Gentleness is the key. That's got to go. but also being maybe even though I kind of most of the time ended up being right, but a little too quick to judge on some things. I got to tell you, as we were talking about things and writing things down, I cannot say enough about the men in this room that taught me so much and helped me to grow and helped me to learn, honestly, how to lead. Dennis, amazing. Jerry, your point of view, your ability to look at things from another angle, that opened me up. Tommy, your gentle patience was growing. And Paul, I know you didn't say much, but the power of being silent is awesome. But
it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open mouths and remove all doubt.
I wanted to say, I did want to say that. You men that were not part of the conversation that we were having before we brought it, you're in the midst of great men that I look up to. So I wanted y'all to know that. And along that lines, we communicated primarily through
email.
We communicated through for those of you who may or may not be tech savvy, a Google Drive account that I have that I shared with everyone. I have loads of files in there, and it keeps growing. This recording is going to end up in that Google Drive folder. If any of you men care to have access to that, I'm happy to share that with you. But I just, after that conversation, I felt I needed to say that. So thank you.
Does anyone have anything else that we need to do? I mean, time's late. We're getting fatigued with regards to this.
I appreciate Josh. He's done a lot of work.
Yeah, I do.
Organizing all this.
He's going to make the final one.
Thank you.
Final.
Anybody at all? Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it so much. And I do, again, everything's not settled yet, but like Josh, I do want to express you know, the despair that has been a part of my life for 8 months is the fog is lifting, and it's because the resolute nature of your conviction. And I love every one of you deeply. I want you to know that.
I'd like to say one more thing, and because I felt like I've wanted to say a lot more and support you and Josh more in the previous months than I probably have done publicly. But I want you to understand that it was not me trying to straddle the line between this group and that group, but it was more with the intent that, and I expressed this to my wife, and you can ask her, but expressed it multiple times because I've had multiple, like, heart-wrenching weeks of, like I'm surprised I'm not having been in a wreck because I drive a car and I'm, like, staring, like, thinking my kids will tell you that.
There's been a lot of that
out
among all of us.
But yeah, it was my fear that anything that I said or did would be taken and used against you even more. Josh got the Josh.
Yeah.
And this is the proof of
yeah.
that. And that's what I was
we
going
put
to
you were put in an awkward
I mean,
position.
Yeah.
We recognize it. There's no need for...
I want y'all to know that from the get-go, I've known what was right and had that discussion with you. And I was, in fact, my cautions to you in our initial speakings that night were to proceed with caution because I was afraid that knowing
Anyway, so but I want you to know that I support y'all from the beginning, and that I was, and Josh knows because he didn't read all of our texts.
And I believe and I know it as well.
I appreciate that.
I believe and know it as well.
But
Jim, would you mind leading us in a word of closing prayer? And by the way, guys, again, I want to share with you the fruit of my article in the letter. So will you please sign your name, sign your email before you leave, and I'll share it with you. If you would, Jim.
Our Heavenly and Almighty Father, we humbly come before you at the end of this meeting. We pray, Father, that all we discussed here, Father, is according to your will, according to your guidance. We pray, Father, for strength. We pray, Father, that this congregation can work through this, Father. We pray that we could all come together as one. We pray, Father, that you guide us and give us strength through all of this. We pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.